Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Not that long ago, Paul Tough was in our studio. Do you remember the author and the book, The Years That Matter Most? He had some really fascinating things to say about getting your kids. Actually, he's been writing about you and your kids for a while, but getting them through school and getting them through the school years, through college for that matter. And I said, listen, if you're ever in town again, if there's ever occasion for you to visit with us, come visit with us. He took me up on that. Paul, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Nice to be back.
For those who missed our conversation, what's The Years That Matter Most about?
It is about the intersection of higher education and social mobility in the United States. So how our system of colleges and universities helps and hinders young people, especially young people who are coming from low-income and first-generation working-class families. Higher education used to be the great engine of social mobility. Now that engine is in lots of ways breaking down.
Are you saying people should or shouldn't send their kids to college?
Well, it is very hard right now to make it into the middle class without some kind of post-secondary credential. So I definitely think that sending your kids to college is important. But we have created all of these barriers to helping young people get there.
Like what?
Well, the cost is a big part of it. We are not investing as much. The public is not investing as much in higher education as we used to. So our system of community colleges and public universities doesn't first cost more than it used to and doesn't work as well as it used to. And then the most selective institutions have all kinds of incentives that make it incline them to admit more well-off students and fewer low-income students.
Which is one of the surprises to me in your book. Another one was that, what is it, the graduation rate of community colleges. Do I have this right? Do you know that statistic off the top of your head? I think I do. I think it's 20%.
I think that's right, yeah. It's very low.
What are you saying? Father, you say no, it's not 20%?
Yeah, for urban community colleges, it's 7%.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm a community college graduate, and it was one of the best education decisions my family ever made for a lot of reasons. But I also thought the community college is easier to do. That is, you don't have to go away to school for a lot of the kids. It's not financially oppressive, et cetera, et cetera. How are community... I think I know the answer to that. Tell me if this is it. That a lot of people aren't going to community college to get a two-year degree, maybe. They're doing it because they just want to take extension classes or further themselves. The objective is different. Is that it?
I think that's part of it. But I also think that we have created a system that makes it just harder for students to make it through. We used to invest a lot more in community colleges, so there were more opportunities, more classes offered, just better ways to make it through. Now we make it a lot harder.
It was a terrible introduction of Father Steve Katsouris, who's sitting next to you. He is the dean of Arupe College at Loyola University. Katsouris, is that how I say your last name?
That's it. Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
Why did you write about him?
Because I think that Arupe College, which Father Katsouris started, helped start, has a different kind of model for a two-year college that is unlike anything else in Chicago, unlike anything else in the country, and provides a much better opportunity, especially for low-income first-generation students.
What are they doing? What are you doing differently for low-income or first-generation students?
So a couple of things about our students, all Chicagoans, all commuters. Students who are coming to us primarily from CPS or from charter schools, maybe 13% from Catholic high schools, all fresh out of high school. So these are 18, 19-year-old traditional age students desiring college, as Paul said, first gen. GPAs in high school, 2.7, 2.8, maybe 2.9, much lower than Loyola University of Chicago.
ACTs are 17 or 18?
ACT 17, SAT 920.
What is it for the typical Loyola student?
So the ACT for a typical Loyola student is a 27, 28. I don't have the SAT number.
Wow, that's a gap. So it's harder for these kids maybe to acclimate to college.
So that's where we come in. We're smaller. We are currently at 350 students in first and second year.
Arupe is.
Correct. And we offer a lot of wraparound support services, starting with a very robust orientation where our students begin to build community. And one of the things that Paul writes about so eloquently, both in How Children Succeed and in his new book, is that sense of belonging. No matter what your background is, if you don't feel like you belong on a campus, it'll be difficult for you to persist and to complete successfully at that college or university. So that is really our ethos at Arupe.
Arupe is a college within Loyola. Is
correct.
It on the? Is it a separate building? How does that work?
Yeah, so we are at the Water Tower campus of Loyola Chicago. We're on the corner of Pearson and State. We're in the old. It was the law school, and then the law school moved down the street, and then it was the business school, and then they moved across the street, and now I shared the building with the School of Social Work, and that's really quite deliberate. Putting together the synergies from two different academic units, MSW students from Loyola School of Social Work intern with us. They earn their hours. We receive their services. So it's been a great benefit for both.
Do these kids take courses like the courses that Loyola University or traditional university students
take?
Yeah,
that's a great question. So these are general ed requirements. They're taking the exact same courses that their counterparts are taking at Loyola Chicago's Lakeshore campus in the Rogers Park neighborhood. The delivery is different, much more predictable. Also, you're in a morning cohort or an afternoon cohort, and that is sensitive to commuters and also to students who are working, and many of our students have to work. Even though our price point is such that we've designed this so that it's so affordable. Our students are Pell and MAP and SEOG eligible. The average out-of-pocket for the student is under $1,700 a year.
Well, that description you gave with all those acronyms is defining low-income students.
Monetary assistance program, that's state aid in this in Illinois, and SEOG is a supplemental educational opportunity grant, which is federal aid.
And are these kids going to school for 4 years? Is Arupe 4 years?
It's a two-year program, so they get their we're a bridge program, so our students are coming to us right out of high school, and they need that extra support that we provide for 2 years. And most of them desire to go on to a four-year institution. 88% of we've graduated three classes. We opened this in 2015, so we've been in existence now for, we're in our fifth year. We've graduated three classes. 88% of our graduates continue on to four-year institutions.
88% of the graduates.
That's
what percentage of them, in fact, graduate?
So, our first cohort, I was just sharing this with Paul, our first cohort graduated from Arupe in 2017 with their associate's degrees. Now, nationally, those who begin community colleges, only 27% of them complete their bachelor's degrees in 6 years' time. We're at 49% completing their bachelor's degrees in 4 years' time, 2 years with us for the associates and then 2 years at the four-year institution. And we're forecasting over 80% of that first cohort completing their bachelor's in 5 years' time.
These students are selected based on their academic achievement. Are you getting the high academic achievers coming out of CPS?
So remember, our GPAs are 2.7, 2.8, 2.9. These are B-minus, C-plus, C students, students that don't have a lot of options. And they're recommended by faculty members, by their college counselors in their high schools. We require that all the students come in for an interview. And we're looking for that student, first of all, who shows up and then who is, you know, demonstrates grit, resilience. They really want to do this. There's something there.
But did you also say in your book that they're not looking for the kids that have sufficient assistance, maybe coming out of CPS? It's kids that fall through the cracks.
Absolutely. I mean, so what I think those numbers express is that these are not the top students from any of those CPS schools. I mean, these are students, as Father Katsouris is saying, that want to learn, that are committed to their education, but they are not the top scoring students and not the top students in their class.
So what happens to these kids typically? Were it not for Arupe, where would they be? Where would they be
That's
going?
That's a great question. A lot of them get into, well, low-paying jobs that, you know, for a while they're contributing to their family's overall income, and working in fast food is great when you're 18 or 19, but if you plateau there, we can sort of see where that's going. Or they enroll in our city colleges, and, you know, I am a fan of the city colleges. We have the same goal. We're trying to graduate, you know, more and more of Chicago's population, but they get lost there. We have an enrollment of 350. We don't have an enrollment of 3,000 or 13,000. You know, we're designed so that our students meet with their academic advisors very regularly. City colleges in Chicago, New York, Baltimore, San Francisco, the academic advisors are overwhelmed. They have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of advisees. So, you know, in those settings, you're meeting with your academic advisor once during the entire course of enrollment. Mm-hmm. And when you're first gen, when your parents are navigating all of this for you, when you've got competing claims on your time with commuting or childcare or work, then your academic program is not getting the attention that it needs.
you write about this, Paul, that, and it's something that, you know, I think is a light that maybe should shine in our minds when we think about this more often. That is, if you say, hey, get yourself an education, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, there's programs available. So many parents who have underachieved in their lives academically, they break out in a rash when they walk through a school door. They're not against their kids bettering themselves, but they are, they have bad memories about school settings, and they literally don't know how to pass along positivity or help kids with algebra because they failed in school themselves. And so this whole idea of telling that next generation, hey, go to school, take advantage of these opportunities, is uniquely alien to those families, right?
You're right. And I think you're also right that part of it is practical, just sort of how you think about college, how you fill out financial aid forms, all of those things that first-generation families are less likely to know about. But part of it is psychological as well, that colleges are sort of set up to be threatening to people who don't have a background.
Well, you called it a psychological minefield. Here's you writing in your book. But on the other side, there is the psychological minefield of being an American 18-year-old and the particular strengths and burdens and complexities each one brings to campus. I mean, in the best of, my dad was a junior college counselor. Mm-hmm. I had it made. I had it made. My dad signed me up for the classes and helped me through that until I finally went to Carbondale. Nobody could have had an easier path. I had all kinds of anxiety. Imagine sure. if it was 180 different. It would have been torturous. It might have been something I would just not have done. And that's where these kids are.
Right. And that's what I think is so important about Arupe, because we do not, as a country, we do not have a solution for these students. And all of the ways that the higher education system has changed is just put all the pressure on them that, okay, you figure it out with your families, you figure out how to pay for it. And that is just a huge burden to place on those.
So now what I'm thinking is, okay, we want these kids to be successful. So where do you set the bar academically, achievement-wise, grading-wise? I mean, I think I would be too easy. If you're too hard, maybe you're setting them up for failure. Gentlemen, talk to me about that after this. We're visiting with Steve Katsouris. He's the dean of Arupe College, which you'll find at the Loyola campus downtown, mm-hmm. and is a unique school just a few years in existence. Paul Tough introduced me to him. Paul is the author who's been in our studio before. We'll pick it up here next on WGN. Let me mention this while I am thinking about it. So the reason that I think Paul brought Steve here, Father Steve from Arupe College at Loyola University, Paul Tough, the author of The Years That Matter Most, previously How Children Succeed, is because are both of you speaking this evening at the
we
school?
We are.
So there is a book signing and a talk being given on the importance of Arupe College. You can register online for the event at LUC, think Loyola University Chicago, luc.edu/Arupe, A-R-R-U-P-E. I'll put all of this on my Facebook page, too. It's at 5:30 tonight. At 1 East Pearson. So is that the address for the
That's
school
right,
downtown?
Corner of Pearson and State.
Yeah, so downtown Chicago, 5:30 tonight. So these gentlemen will be there. You should be, too. Who should be there? Who's this talk geared to, then?
I mean, I think to everyone in the city who's interested in new solutions for higher education. I mean, certainly anyone whose family is themselves interested in Arupe. But, I mean, the reason that I'm interested in Arupe is I think that it for everyone, it gives you a different model about how to think about higher education.
Yeah, but I think when we think about higher education, we think, well, find your school, then work real hard, get real good grades. Arupe seems to nurture the kids more.
So one of the quotes from Steve that I have in the book is that he says that Arupe has a very intrusive culture, and that is not something. So I went around and talked to a lot of administrators, a lot of different colleges and universities, and that is not a phrase that you often hear.
Yeah,
we're
no
really
kidding.
Intrusive. You know, mostly colleges take this point of view that like we just pull back and let our students sink or swim. And that works for some students, but there are a lot of students that it doesn't work for, who need more help, more support, more connection. And that, I think, is what makes Arupe different.
This will sound condescending. I don't mean it to. But each of these kids must be these little projects. You want to sort of rescue them from the pitfalls of the city and city life. I mean, this must be the most challenging, frustrating, and rewarding thing you or an educator can do.
Well,
because it's both
is,
fronts, isn't it?
It certainly is very rewarding. As Paul said, this is a very innovative entrepreneurial activity in Jesuit higher ed or in higher ed in general. And, you know, in terms of rescuing, I would say accompanying. So, look, I'm a Jesuit priest, I'm a Catholic, Pope Francis is my hero. He talks a lot about accompanying people, and accompanying people he will talk about on the margins. So a lot of our students are on the margins of higher ed. They would never dream of going to a private liberal arts college like Loyola University, but we are accompanying them during their first post-secondary education experience. And quite frankly, we are learning a lot from them, from their experience, about how to deliver higher ed more effectively.
First post-secondary educational experience for some families. I mean, these kids are sort of the point of the spear for some of these families. So then what about my idea? I so want to get these kids to succeed, have that sheepskin to enter the work world, that I think I might compromise their learning because I would be too easy. But if I was too strict, what good does it do to fail them? So how do you find that balance is my question.
So our curriculum is very rigorous. As I said, it's the same as the curriculum that their classmates at Loyola's main campus would also be taking. Our delivery is different, very high touch, more contact hours with professors. One of the things that we have found is this, you know, if you say to a student, oh, well, go to the writing center where you need a math tutor. For some students, oh, I've been tutored all my life, or where's my academic coach? For these students, that's confirmation that, in fact, they don't belong at a campus like Loyola University. So we have peer tutors, students who are a year ahead of them, who look like them, who went to their high schools, who commute with them, who are really good at math or in writing, saying, look, let's meet after class and let's work on your paper together. That has been transformative for our program and for our students.
Somebody just texted in, only Chicagoans eligible for this?
It's a commuter school. Yeah.
So I guess if I wanted to move here from Idaho, I could, but it's an enrollment process. Less than half of the kids that apply get accepted, correct?
That's right.
Which is good for you, I guess. It shows how needed this is.
It's an indication of the great need for programs like this.
Gentlemen, we're out of time. So Paul Tough's books are How Children Succeed. That was half a dozen years ago. His latest is The Years That Matter Most, and talks about these issues. It's in his book that I met Steve Katsouris, who is the dean of Arupe College at Loyola University. 5:30 tonight, they're speaking in downtown at the downtown campus. Go to luc.edu/Arupe. Spell Arupe with two R's. Gentlemen, congratulations. Stay in touch, Father. We'll do this conversation again sometime.
Right, I would enjoy that. Thank you.
Keep writing, too.
Thank you very much.
Nice to see you both.